My guest Diane Lane is one of the stars of the new movie Hollywoodland. She's also starred in such films as Under the Tuscan Sun, Unfaithful, A Walk on the Moon, Streets of Fire, Rumblefish, and Cotton Club. As we'll hear, she got her start professionally when she was six in avant-garde theater. Her father was an acting coach. Her mother had been Playboy's Miss October in 1957. They divorced 13 days after Diane was born. Hollywoodland is a fictionalized account of the mysterious circumstances surrounding the death in 1959 of George Reeves, who played Superman on TV. Lane plays Toni Mannix, the wife of MGM Studios general manager Eddie Mannix. When Reeves is trying to establish himself in Hollywood before landing the part of Superman, Toni Mannix takes him on as her lover and supports him financially. She's several years older than him. In this scene, they meet for the first time, accidentally, at an exclusive restaurant. Reeves wants to get in the papers, so when he sees a photographer shooting Rita Hayworth and her companions, he walks over and leans into the shot. That's when Toni Mannix notices him.
Just made it.
Beg your pardon?
Into the picture.
With someone taking a picture? I hadn't noticed.
I were awfully well trained, Mr.
George Reeves. Was it the line or the delivery?
I laugh when I'm happy.
I see. Well, who is that I'm making so happy?
I'm Toni.
Just a poor girl with no last name.
I had no idea I could spread this much joy.
Well, who knows what you might be spreading? Your turn.
Yeah, I'm afraid you've got me.
Diane Lane, welcome to Fresh Air. You play an older woman who's having an affair with a younger actor. I think the character is actually older than you are.
Yes. Interestingly, Ben Affleck, who beautifully portrays George in the film, Ben Affleck and I have the same age difference that I believe Toni had with George. So even though we're both younger than the characters we're playing, we have the equal distance between our ages. Does that make sense?
Right. And that's what, 8 years?
I think 7 or 8, yeah.
So, you know, the Toni Mannix, who you portray, is in part, you know, relying on her sexuality to keep George Reeves, and it's and at the same time she knows she's getting older and that he is likely to be seduced by a younger woman. Can you talk a little bit about acting that kind of sexuality that she has?
Well. That kind. I mean, I don't know how many kinds there are. I just know that it's interesting.
Well, there's the kind that's more overtly seductive and more...
Right.
More manipulative in a way, too.
Because she had the purse strings and because she had the promise or hope dangling all the time that she could be a benefit to his career, she was married to the head of MGM. She had a lot of connections that George couldn't get into the room of without her. That sexuality, it wears very comfortably because you have all the cards. The only disparity is the age difference, and she addresses it right away. She says, you know, I'm much too old for you. Almost like a dare, almost like a challenge. And I found it very winsome, actually, how Toni was so vulnerable, even though I think she did her very best to conceal it and it got the better of her because the things that we shove down wind up winning. You know, she's pretty vulnerable about the fact that she's the older woman and he's the younger man. And that whole cliche of being traded in at 40 for two 20s, you know, it's just, it's always hanging over her head like a piano, I think.
My guest is Diane Lane, and she's starring in the new movie Hollywoodland. You started acting professionally when you were six. What got you started?
It was a clipping out of the Village Voice, which, if memory serves, in 1971, it seemed to me a very thin publication. It didn't have much advertising in it. It was mostly advertising for actors to audition, you know. And they found this little tiny one-inch advertisement to audition 7 to 10-year-olds down at La Mama on East 4th Street in New York, La Mama Experimental Theater, La Mama ETC. But I just auditioned. My father asked me, he said to me, so Diane, do you want to be in a play? He drove me in the cab and he said, it's right up there at the top of the stairs. I walked in, I walked up the five flights of stairs and I said, I'm here about the job. And I had no front teeth. And the gal who auditioned me was Elizabeth Swatos, depending on who you ask, who was all of 18 then and must, you know, to me, she was all grown up. And the audition consisted of singing some notes back on a guitar to see if I had pitch. And could I say some words backwards? You know, what is car backwards? Rock. Ooh. Made me feel really smart, you know. And I got the part. I walked out with the part because they just wanted somebody who was going to be able to say the Greek words. We were doing the original Euripides text of Medea.
You were doing it in Greek?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. I still know my lines. They're blazed into my brain stem because if you forget these lines, the great thing is you can improvise and hopefully nobody will notice that you've completely screwed up your lines. When we performed it in Greece, because we toured with these plays all over Europe every summer, we would tour in all the theater festivals. We were the American entry from La Mama. And we wound up making a trilogy of plays, Medea, Electra, the Trojan Women. And it was truly avant-garde theater before it was even, that phrase was coined, because that's sort of a hindsight perspective, you know.
So when you were a child, you were like 6 and 7 when you were doing avant-garde theater with La Mama. What are some of the principles you learned when you were 6 about avant-garde theater that you didn't realize were some of the innovations of avant-garde theater at the time that you just took for granted because it's the things that you were taught?
Well, interestingly, I had no boundaries, no filter, no self-consciousness yet. I was the perfect pupil for the workshops we would do. You know, André Serban was our director, and he has become quite famous for many productions over the years. He got into opera, and he's done lots of things. But he directed all those plays, and he was fresh from Romania, barely spoke any English. And the communications that we had were quite literally primal. And I had, being the child, I had no shame. Some of the exercises were, okay, be an animal, pick an animal, be one, and go around the group as the animal. I don't know if you've seen Little Miss Sunshine. It's a great movie.
Yes, it is.
This little girl at the end, you know, when she's getting coached by Alan Arkin how to be a lion or whatever that leopard is. That was me at La Mama going around the group. I wanted to be a Black Panther. You know, here I am 7 years old, snarling at people, not realizing that I was either making a fool of myself or adorable or precocious or whatever people want to label. I was free.
So just about the time when a lot of children are learning how to control certain impulses and learning, you know, they're getting socialized. You were with a group of people whose goal was probably to be uninhibited and express themselves as freely as possible within the structure of the theater.
Well, the theater is a brilliant teacher. My father called it his church. You know, those years taught me how to be a team player. Those years taught me respect, responsibility. I learned everything, Terry. I learned to go to the bathroom before the show.
good advice.
I had to play dead. I had to play dead, and I actually, you know, did it so well that, I don't know how to say this. I urinated, but at least I played a convincing corpse. You know, I must commit to the role, and you know, other times you learn what not to eat because you get sick. You learn not to fall asleep backstage by the heater in winter because you'll miss your cue. Basic stuff, you know. Don't interrupt the play and say in English where the props should be. It's just little kid stuff, but I learned all of it.
Are you saying you urinated on stage in the part?
Yeah.
And were you?
I was being held in Jason's arms. I was Medea's murdered child. So he was screaming and spitting and flailing around in Greek, clutching my body, and I'm supposed to be dead, and I needed to stay limp with a very full bladder. He realized what happened halfway through, but he had to keep going.
Were you criticized for it by the director?
Not those things. As long as the show goes on, you see, you're fine. It's when you blow the moment or, yeah.
Now, what prevented you from being, like, horribly embarrassed after that?
That I think there was praise for not breaking character.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, there were other times we performed in some outrageous places. We were in the ruins of Baalbek, literally. We were in Persepolis.
In Lebanon.
In the ruins. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The ruins of Persepolis and I think that's outside of Shiraz, if not. We were in Shiraz and Tehran. I can't remember which is which now. But Italy, Germany, France, Scotland, Finland, Yugoslavia, just all of the Berlin, you know, wherever. We did it all. And we would always have the coolest venues for these shows. We were in Taormina in that famous amphitheater there in Sicily. And I recognized it from the U2 videos in the 80s. I was like, we were there. Wait a minute. Yes. It was great times. You know, I would have to play dead in all of these plays because invariably the death of innocence is always the backdrop theme. So the kid always gets killed in these plays. I started to feel really, what's happening? Why am I dying in every play I'm in? But I have to tell you, it was some of the best times of my life.
My guest is Diane Lane. She's starring in the new movie, Hollywoodland. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Diane Lane, and she's starring in the new movie, Hollywoodland, which is about the death of George Reeves, who played Superman. When you were a teenager, you were cast in Francis Ford Coppola's movie, The Outsiders, and then you were in his movie, Rumblefish, and after that in Cotton Club. Did Coppola have anything special going for him in terms of directing teenagers? And I should mention for anybody who's forgotten that in The Outsiders, you know, it was you, Matt Dillon, Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, Tom Cruise, an incredible cast.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. C. Thomas Howell, Ralph Macchio, Leif Garrett. I mean, yeah, the list goes on.
So yeah. So did he have something special in terms of how he directed young actors?
Well, he certainly is a paternal person. You know, being around him and seeing how he conducts himself and, you know, worked very well for me personally because I'm such a daddy's girl and the father figure of a director is just prototypical for my reflex and how I respond easily and well. But I would also say that he is a very family-oriented person and also has high standards. So people responded in kind. Also, he would create scenarios that made us feel as much in character as possible. He had a disparity. The Sochas got more per diem spending cash while we were there filming than the Greasers did. But also he created a wonderful rehearsal experience for everybody, which was revealing and grounding at the same time. We basically filmed the movies on video before we filmed them on film. We rehearsed them as a play. We performed them in front of a blue screen. We have popcorn and sit and watch our efforts and realize how very much we needed a director, which is very smart for him because, you know, young egos running amok, I mean, it can really become a lot of distraction when you have that much growth hormones on your set.
Now, your mother had been Miss October in Playboy magazine in 1957. What was your reaction when you saw that centerfold of your mother? You know, for a lot of children find it almost impossible to imagine their parents as sexual creatures. When your mother's posed in a centerfold, you know, there's probably no way around thinking about that.
I don't think I was any more embarrassed by my mother than most kids are by their mothers. The ingredients may change, but the emotion was no more painful or foreign. The ingredients were different. You know, I think I experienced both of my parents as individuals, certainly because I was a child of divorce, but also because they were such characters, and also because hearing each one's story, I grew an empathy or that kind of concern about them that is, you know, supposed to not be the domain of the child. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, traditional psychology will always say it's not good for the child to feel like they have to raise the parent. And there were times where I felt that I didn't want to let Daddy down, or I was worried about Mommy.
One more question. Of the films that you've made, I'm going to ask you to choose one of the not as well-known films that you particularly like.
You're going to ask me to choose one?
Yeah.
It was called All Washed Up for years, which I made jokes saying, which I will be when it comes out, because we never even filmed an ending. And then MTV got born, and the director, who directed Rocky Horror Picture Show and Up in Smoke, Lou Adler, said, I got the ending, come back. 2 years later now, I shot it at 15 with two guys from the Sex Pistols and one guy from The Clash, and Laura Dern was in it, and it was my fourth movie, and it became Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Stains. It's kind of a cult hit, actually. It never got released. It was a Paramount picture, and it got zero distribution, but people still saw it on, like, Night Flight or some strange East Coast cable show. I don't know. It was really, really fabulous and embarrassing and bizarre and great and iconic and just ridiculous. It was before Spinal Tap. It was truly 1981.
Did you do your own singing?
You betcha. And I got egged. And they were right to egg me. We were supposed to suck, Terry. We were supposed to be awful and lousy. And the director caught us rehearsing in our room and had an absolute fit. I said, are you worried about the fact that we're actually going to get good here? We're 15. We can be bad on purpose. It's okay. We're actors. We will act like we are lousy, but let us at least see if we can hit the notes. You know, it's not so bad. So, it was a great movie about a spoof of the really low, low, low ends of the rock and roll industry.
Diane Lane, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you. I love your show. It was really wonderful to be on. Thanks.
Diane Lane stars in the new movie Hollywoodland. We'll close with Diane Lane singing in the final scene of Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Stains.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Fabulous Stains!